All right, let's talk about policies. This is something that we're probably not going to get done in the next hour, and we're just going to want to revisit as we talk through other things, but pick a policy you're worried about.
Attendance.
Tardies.
Participation.
Just one. All right. Is attendance required? Should you require attendance?
I think it should be.
Okay.
I think it depends on the class.
Let's talk about just stats right now. Mm-hmm. Let's just pick stats.
I mean undergraduate versus graduates.
Let's talk about the class you're most likely to teach next, which is a stats class. Because they are more likely to foist a stats class onto a youngin than a methods class. Unless you're coming in as a methodologist, they're afraid of you as a methodologist. But stats is math, so you can't be funky there. Boy, do we have surprises for them. All right, so you're teaching your standard stats course. Is attendance required? And remember that you're likely to have both lecture and lab.
So students from different areas will have majors, right?
No, let's keep it simple. What's your major? So you're teaching a stats class, an introductory stats class to sophomores in the psych department. So let's homogenize things, or whatever your home department is. You're weird.
Thank you.
Is attendance required?
Attendance is always required for labs, because they're only once a week. It's difficult to reschedule a 3-hour block. That's just
right.
Really.
And what's the other thing I'm going to care about?
TAs.
Or TAs. Mm-hmm. They don't have the experience recovering. They don't know what the short version is for somebody who didn't show up.
They're baby bear teachers.
They're baby bears. Okay, so descent, should things be required? Should attendance and lab be required?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And descent is good. This is, all right. Ready? Because you bought this on yourselves. What happens if they don't show up?
They
fail
the course.
Keep an AR under the bench for just such an occasion.
Take him out back, Old Yeller.
Old Yeller. Imagine putting that in the syllabus. Non-attendees will be Old Yeller.
I want that
in writing. Okay, so if somebody doesn't show up, you have at least three things you have to think about. Do you care why they didn't show up? How many times can they not show up before things get worse? And can they make up all or part of it? Those are just the first three. You wanted attendance. You wanted required attendance.
I like having attendance required, but then you spend a lot of time judging. Well, what's acceptable, what's unacceptable? I mean, you have to make some sort of policy if you want attendance to be required. But then
not you need to. Your institution may have a policy, and if they don't, they require you to have one that's written down and followed at an unbelievable level of success. Let's remember, we are being watched, and if somebody gets a B or an F, whichever they didn't expect, because they couldn't, something associated with attendance, it better be articulated and followed. So, just harping on something you brought up, so keep going.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I don't have a good solution, but...
You better, because you're going to teach this course.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to know what I've done?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, let's go.
Well, I didn't follow it because I was a pushover. But my policy was you get two absences, or like two no-shows and I don't really need to know the reason why, but anything beyond that, then it gets deducted from your participation.
Good.
And participation, you know, expands not just, you know, coming to class, but, you know, active engagement.
Sure.
And, like, raising your hand and things like that. So they could get points back from doing well when they come to class.
I like it. What if the first two were really legitimate, that the third one's bullshit? Do you give them a pass on the third one? Because if it had been bullshit, good reason, then the third one would have been okay. Well, but if it's good reason, bullshit, the third one hurts them.
Well, what I said is that I don't care if it's bullshit or good reason.
Good.
I only get two. But then I have kids going on interviews and, like, deaths in the family or things like that. And then you're the bad guy who has to tell them, no, I took off points because, like, your grandma died type thing. Which... that's what it was in my policy, but when it comes down to it, I had a hard time.
Make sure your policy says including exceptions made by the instructor. Cool. Okay.
For me, I would say that if they are going to miss a lab section, they have to notify the instructor beforehand,
mm-hmm.
and if they do not notify, they will not get any point.
Good.
Yeah.
Keep going.
There are some things that are unavoidable, obviously, like sicknesses, mm-hmm. and like whatever. If you have like a doctor's note, I think that's obviously excusable. Athletes a lot know like their schedule ahead of time, mm-hmm. and they're going to miss class, and they like they can't do anything about that. And so, I mean, most universities have policies that you can't dock an athlete for missing like
right.
something, and depending on the course, like
and not just athletes.
Yeah, that's true.
Not just athletes. We've got a lot of non-athletic things that are subsidized by the university, and I want them out doing it.
Right, yeah.
Right, so yeah,
like,
good.
So anything for that. And depending on the course, sometimes if there are labs, I think it's totally acceptable to say, okay, like, you know, you can't make this one, so you go to another section's lab.
Mm-hmm. See, my class has 8 sections, and so I tell them, go to another one. And that solves a huge proportion
yeah.
of problems.
Yeah, if they still do the work, they just have to do it at a different time. Then
most of them like their TA a little better after they've had another TA, even if the other TA is better. So this, I wasn't home. I was at my cousin's trying to do this, and I'm going home. So in essence, we're trying to figure out a system by which that they don't have to not show up. Now, obviously, this doesn't last if they have a protracted illness or grandma died in another country. By the way, my personal record is 8 grandmothers lost, or 6 grandparents lost by a single child in a single semester. All legitimate. A couple of remarriages. They lost 6 out of 11 grandparents in 1 semester. All documented.
Oh, it's not. It was not a.
No, that's not bullshit.
True.
That's how bad it can get.
Oh my goodness.
So do you ask for proof, or just like you? You just take their word.
I would have taken their word, up to about 3. Then I would have said, "You have to at least tell me the story." You understand that most people don't, and they're old. But this kid had been required to put the documentation together for somebody else, and at that point desperately wanted me to have it. Because they put all this energy and effort into it. Here, no, you're going to die. I don't need to see that. I believe you. I've been living for 20 years. You're going to lie to me, but not about this. No. This took 3 hours. Okay, fine. Oh, fuck. It's good to drink a beer. Alright, so why? You started down. You started.
Why does attendance matter?
Yeah, why does attendance matter? And I'm going to thick black line.
So just for lecture, you're saying?
Well, no. Why might there be a difference between the two based on why you want them there?
At least in biology, all the intro labs I've taught, what you do in lab is what your assignments are on. So, and you have to be there to do the experiment. And
right.
Part of the waffling with makeups is you can only have a certain number of sections.
Yes.
So you actually have to,
or
like,
specimens,
okay,
or something, yeah.
These are the sections that don't have a full class. You can
right.
choose between one of these. So that's doable.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to have a someone to organize everything, unfortunately. But it's just, if you don't go to class, it's not only attendance is required, but it's also you're not going to be able to do the homework.
Right.
And that's, if it's a write-up.
And that's a good thing.
Second of your grade.
So think about makeups. It's hard to make up a lecture. There were times when I taught multiple sections, multiple smaller sections of 350, which was awful. Because that would mean sometimes I gave the same lecture four times in a day, two 350s, a 450, and a 941. Those were days that
never ended.
I wondered why I didn't drink. But, and so if you can get something, get them to another lab, get them to a makeup. Substitute. You've identified why it is tough to substitute for a lab. Because they're doing stuff. And they may be doing stuff that either support or actually doing it isn't available outside. Mm-hmm. But lecture may be something that you can substitute. As you guys know, PowerPoint's there. All of the audio files are there. And so it pains me, but I can tell you that every section of 350 that I've taught for at least the last 10 years, there has been a shadow class. There's been a group of kids who hardly ever came to class. They did all of the online stuff. They did everything except sit in the room with me. They listened to the audio. They did the PowerPoints. That group had almost exactly the same grade distribution. And predicting their grades from other things was based on the same model with the same accuracy as the kids who were sitting in the room.
Do you know who listens to the audio lectures? Can you track
that? I used to track that, yes. I don't anymore because it chews up a lot of resources. Mm-hmm. To that monitoring chews up a big chunk of bandwidth. I've decided I know what I need to know and act on. But yeah, we used to monitor everything. Everything that left the server, I had an IPI, and I had a piece of software that tracked down who that was, and so I had person for person that right in the gradebook. I could tell you how many reps they did, I could tell you how many times they redid, I could tell you everything they did in interaction with the database or with the server, which was everything. And that's why we have never done videotaping. Because when we did videotaping, things got worse. The way we have it set up maximizes different ways that people can do things. Some people just look at the PowerPoints. Some people download things and listen to them while they're traveling back and forth. Some people like to do them both at the same time. Minimum investment, maximum opportunity. We actually did a study that shows that it's better if you listen to the audio of a different lecture than you sat through. Stories are different, the emphasis is different, pace, this, that. It's less of a drone. I hate the idea of droning, but... So, for example, I have no lecture attendance policy. None. I will tell them, show up for the exam preps. And here are the data on why you want to show up for the exam preps. Here are the data for showing up for lectures, and frankly, it's not as impressive. Okay? It doesn't even show up. But where lecture attendance shows up is on lab performance. Because if you miss a lecture, but you get that stuff into your head before you go to the lab that uses it, you're okay. Like maybe a 2 or 3 point decrement. Not reliable, but not significant. But if you don't get through the lecture stuff before you go to lab, which many people don't, then it hurts you by like half a letter grade. And I tell them all this. And so I tell them, listen, I want you in here with me. I want to tell you stories. I want to see the look on your face. I want to know when I should say something again to you. I want, because I don't do a lot. I do no class discussion. I suck on it. There's too many of them. But I want you in the room. I want to watch you. I want to share this with you. I want this to be us together. I'm like that. But as long as you get your ass in the door for the exam preps, you're probably going to be okay. In lab, lab is based on policy more than performance. I don't like the idea that this is optional. I want them in there. And the data that I show them are really obvious. People don't do as well on something that they miss and have to make up. They don't even do as well when they go to another lab. All right, attendance. What else?
Late homework.
Now, you mean sort of assignments broadly, not just...
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, y'all know what my graduate policy is. You want a grade? I need homeworks. But notice, there is a sting to that. You cannot be smart about homeworks in 941 and 942. You have to do all of them. And you have to do all of them to a 9. And so you can't not do some because it wouldn't hurt your grade. You with me? That's the flip side. Yeah, it doesn't matter when I do them, but it's June. You still have a couple incompletes. They'll square it up in time. Eventually, someone else, I don't even have to be the bad guy. Somebody else will say, get that goddamn incomplete taken care of. Why do you have that incomplete? Because he let me. Yeah, that's going to get you. You know. Now, on the flip side of that, I have been confronted by my colleagues who say, your incomplete policy is inconvenient to me. They didn't phrase it that way. They say, it's wrong and bad. Why? And eventually, every time it's worked around to, well, I think it's important, and I have to hold a standard that you don't hold to. Yeah, I don't think it's important. And if you have a standard and you can't defend it, fucking change. Now, what I don't like about that policy is that if you take a while to do the homework, you have to go back and review and work harder and more likely to miss something dopey because it wasn't done closer to when you learned about it. Okay, I kind of don't like that. What I really don't like is that if you miss homework 3, homework 4 is more harder than it should be. Just because sequence. If you miss part of the sequence, since that course is so damned hierarchical. On the other hand, I'm comforted by the fact that almost everybody always can go back to those materials and get the stuff. Because you're not going to remember things, and you're getting closer and closer to the time when you're going to have to teach yourself from stuff you can find on the web or in a book. And so if you can't reteach it to yourself, you're going to have trouble teaching new things to yourself. Does that make sense? And so if I can sort of foster your capacity to reteach yourself, I'm willing to pretend I'm fostering your capacity to teach yourself. And nobody's ever pissed at me. The only time that anybody can get at me, oh, you sucked me into this, and now I have 5 homeworks to do, and I don't have time. Okay. You know, that's when you say, you know, that whatever you got to tell yourself to get to sleep tonight, just get the homework in. Call me whatever you want. I'm good. Get the homework in. Was there ever a misunderstanding that you had to do it? No. Did I tell you one day, don't do that homework? Put it off for 2 years. No. All right, you'd still be mad at me. I just have too many times seen, particularly in graduate school, where there just wasn't time to do everything right now. So you do other stuff. It's the same thing with attendance and travel. When somebody says, okay, here's my favorite story. A kid... And I know this kid. This is not an academic legend. This kid is Mike Fritchie. Okay? Mike Fritchie had a job offer withdrawn because he didn't have a PhD, because he didn't defend his thesis, He defended it, but it didn't count. Because he didn't have enough hours. Because he got an incomplete in a class. Because he was giving the job talk. Teacher had a policy. No, you don't miss class. And he had a list of things that it was okay to miss the class for. You know, death in the family. But doing a job talk was not one of the things that was okay. And so he got an incomplete in that class that he could not make up. Because an incomplete based on attendance just meant the grade was suspended. You never got that grade. That meant that there were 3 hours that he didn't have. So he didn't have enough hours to qualify to defend his dissertation. So he didn't defend his dissertation. So he can't have a PhD, and the job required a PhD. Now, fortunately, the dean said, no. Signed it himself. But it's stuff like that that really makes me wonder whether a rule is for a purpose or out of habit or just to make things easier. And, you know, all of us do. I hate it when I do it, but I sometimes make a decision because it's easier. I don't like to do that. I would like to be righteous all of the time. No. All right, so, what do you like? Late homework assignment. Can it be turned in late? First decision. Can a late homework assignment be turned in? First place you got to go. Why is no a good answer?
Super easy to say no.
Super easy to say no. I like that one.
It's more motivation to actually do it.
It's a motivation to get things done and get things done on time in preparation for what's coming next. It's both prepared and time for what's coming next. I can sound like I care. I can sound like I believe things.
Stop too many students submitting
late
homework, because if you allow one,
total pain in the ass once people see that they can get away with things, to get away with, want to get away with them. Very good.
Less degrade.
That's right. You know, that's right. And it doesn't screw up your grading schedule. That's good. They need to learn standards. How's that one? Did I sound like a name? They need to learn that there are deadlines in the real world. One of the people among my colleagues who made that argument to me said, you know, they have to know that there's deadlines. This is graduate school. This is the last time that we get to shape their behavior. Didn't you just apply for your third extension on the NIMH grant? What do you mean there's deadlines? So I spent the next couple of faculty meetings and even wandered around the building trying to find somebody who had actually lost something because they didn't get it in on time. Not one. Makes me wonder about that as an argument. Now, should we encourage them to get their shit done on time? Absolutely. A lot of people have exactly the same requirements for late homework that they have for attendance, which is a nice internally consistent thing. I'm cool with that. What's the downside of not turning in that assignment? If you're late, on time, or not at all, what's the downside? That's right. They missed a rep. Because people will sometimes not do an assignment that they don't think they can finish on time. They won't do it at all. Now, for some folks, that's a quick and easy way to reduce their overall grade point average. For some teachers, I mean. Take a couple of those B students, don't get all their homework in, now they're a C student. I don't look like I give away so many B's. I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying I've heard that. So what if you allow it to be late? Okay? If you allow things to be late, because you're saying to yourself, I want them to do every assignment.
want them to do every assignment. I value that. So I'm going to require that everything be handed in, which we do in the 350 lab. You cannot get a passing grade in the lab without handing in everything. So, if they're going to have to hand it in, then you have to worry about what are the rules for handing things in and what will it cost you? Right? The old so much per day. What do you think? Now time for you to start talking to me again.
We charge money.
Wow. Then we could buy brownies and do the brownie stuff.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Dock points.
Dock points?
However many days late.
Okay. What if they have waited so long that it doesn't get any points? Do you still require them to do it?
Yes.
I do, but I understand both answers. Okay. And I tell them that. I actually am trying to use that as leverage for not turning things in late. Okay. So if you wait long enough, you still have to do it or you cannot pass the class, but you're getting nothing out of it. Why would you do that? I mean, imagine if you bought a car, you have a car loan. Imagine if you were required to make the payment, but if the payment was too late, only so much of it counted. And if it was sufficiently late, you had to give me the money, but it didn't count towards either the interest or the principal. Holy shit, I would never do that. Ah! You're getting ready to say something. What?
Well, I like that idea. what I don't like is having to keep track of how many days it is.
Boy, no shit.
So I don't remember if I did this, but I've heard of teachers like deducting, you know, a flat amount for every day.
Yeah.
Or just if it's late, then the most you can get is 50%
right.
of what your score.
Yeah. There's all sorts of things like that.
That way, you don't have to keep track of how late it is.
In Blackboard, everything that's handed into lab is handed in through SafeAssign. Because I have committed myself to that database. I like what those people are doing and how they're doing it, and so I contribute to that. So everything is handed in through SafeAssign. And timestamp. It's even better than email. And so that becomes really much easier to check than digging through a packet stack of papers and trying to remember who turned one in or carrying a date stamp around, which I truly suck at. I have probably 8 or 10 times, I never have one with me. I can't even find any of them anymore. But I bought them. I was going to do it. Fuck that, safe assignment.
I use rubrics for all the assignments. Mm-hmm. Well, marketing's different. Mm-hmm. But and in Blackboard, you can upload the rubric.
Yes, you can.
So as you grade, so one of them is if it's on time or not.
Okay.
So they lose so many points if it's not on time and there's a certain amount of days, but there's a max number of points that they can lose for it being late.
Right.
So you would just get zero on that part of the rubric.
Oh, that's cool.
So
I haven't played with that.
It's very clear to them.
Let me swap you a cheeseburger for how to use that, because you know what a wuss I am about learning new things.
Yeah. I'm teaching an online class right now, and I have a friend who had to take a whole course in Blackboard before she could teach online.
Oh, yeah.
So she's taught me some little tricks.
I'll bet. Yeah, because if somebody sits you down and says, here's the whole system, you learn more than, yeah. Where is this course taught?
My book?
No, the Blackboard.
Where does she teach there? She's in Springfield, Illinois.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Not sure exactly where. She teaches a nutritional program.
I'm sure Blackboard has tutorials that I can teach it in there. Yeah. I can program. Certainly I can figure out someone else's program.
It's made sense of all the links. I didn't understand what they did before.
Boy, there are a whole bunch of stuff. And I've discovered several things that I've carefully reproduced.
And you can change the colors and make it
pink. You mean my pink things can be pink and my blue things can be blue?
Right.
Alright, what's next?
Plagiarism.
Plagiarism. Oh, God, do we have to?
Oh, yeah.
How do you spell plagiarism?
A-R-I-S-M.
Plagiarism? No. Is that right?
G-I.
That?
What are you doing?
G-I-A-R.
You could just simplify and say that? Cheating.
Is that it? Really?
Oh, there's an I in there?
It's got liar in there. I just heard one the other day. No, you can't spell drunk without UNK. University of Nebraska, Kearney. The person was had it on their shirt, and they bought the shirt in the student union. We're proud of the wrong things here, boys and girls. I hate plagiarism. Do you know that the standing definition, by APA standing definition of plagiarism, there are like two studies ever that aren't plagiarized. Five consecutive words. Try and get through a result section without five consecutive words.
Yeah, and if you have a whole class, everyone's doing the same assignment and they get similar results, there's only like five ways to say something.
Well, we actually sort of use it backwards. I mean, you know, on the correlation homework, for example, if somebody doesn't have a 90% plus, look at it carefully because they missed a bunch. Does that make sense? And if they're all writing up the same result section, you ought to have 70 or 80% overlap on that result section.
Yeah, we write abstracts, so they're smaller, so you get a higher percentage just because they're smaller, but people focus on different things because I taught that lab badly. I'm like, they did not understand what we were trying to do at all. Good to know.
So what's the UNL policy on plagiarism?
I know it's a strike system. The first one, they get a zero on the assignment, and some classes...
These are all maximum allowable penalties according to the system. There is not actually a you got it. Mm-hmm. It's a you can't be any meaner than.
Oh, okay.
Probably not their language. So yeah, it's a zero, fail, gone. And if you really want to, you can get rid of somebody on the second offense. If it was a major thing and was clearly intentional. Two of those in a row.
Can we talk about that intentional more?
Yeah, go!
Because how much does that matter? I mean, and how responsible...
Yeah, ignorance and stupidity. Is there a difference in...
And how responsible do we have to be to teach the students about plagiarism? Because they come from, all walks of life, really. And they may have different excuses, or their department's going to do things differently, or...
Well, they have a different reinforcement history of shit they got away with.
This isn't plagiarism, even though it is.
Right.
So does the malintent matter, or is it just, this is plagiarism, so I don't care if you knew it was or wasn't? Because that's hard to objectify, the intent.
Yes. I am awful about this. I like what they do in the Psych 100 course to train them about plagiarism. All we basically do is remind them. Give credit for borrowed thoughts. That's it. Safe Assign is amazing because Safe Assign actually has the entire Scikit database available to it. And what's the one the businessy folks use? Eric?
Yes.
Eric. The entire Eric database is available to you. And so if they've pulled a chunk, it's going to notice. And it will tell you, I don't know if you know this one, they now tell you what it matches. So it will tell you if they pulled it out of a 1954 B.F. Skinner publication, just as an example. I've tested that, because I find that fun. I will type stuff in, I will steal stuff and submit it and see if it catches it. I'm amazed. I don't know how big of a CPU that's running where. But that thing's doing tens of thousands a day. I love to know the search algorithm. I'm just befuddled by the sheer quantity.
So it takes into account when you quote?
Well, yeah, it actually does. It's sensitive to quoting.
Okay, so they know it's not plagiarism if it was quoted as...
Well, it highlights areas of interest, so if you go into the student's document, it'll have highlight areas, and you can click on, like, a yellow highlight over, and it's like, this is an 83% match to this source. And with plagiarism, I care less if they plagiarize another source, because usually that's an easy teaching method. I teach them to cite, and it's not a big deal. But they do really well on catching whenever they take it from another student's paper.
Yes.
And that's what I care about.
Especially a student that's in another section.
Yeah. Or
was a couple of semesters ago. It nails all of that shit.
Yeah.
And that's when...
That's when I get mad.
I don't have to care, because obviously that's intentional.
Yes.
You cannot mistakenly grab four paragraphs out of somebody else's paper.
Mm-hmm.
Three assignments in a row.
Yeah.
But if they're that's obvious. But if they're not citing their sources,
My lab policy is that you get one. The first one you screw up, you must. And if it's a shared violation, you must both rewrite it. If it's a theft violation, what you're talking about, you must rewrite it. The second time, it is out of the TA's hands, and I get to decide. And if I'm not convinced that it was reasonable, and some stuff is reasonable, if you get 6 or 7 words in a row, because I have, on 2 different occasions, plagiarized myself. I didn't remember that I had written it this way before, or I like writing it that way.
It sounds good.
But when you have something published by APA, you're not plagiarizing yourself anymore. You're now plagiarizing APA. Even though you wrote it and want to write it the same way again, you have to cite yourself. So, if I don't like it, I decide how much of that grade they don't get. At which point, they are far more attentive. We've never had anybody screw up a third time that wasn't a son of a bitch who was trying to do 7 or 8 other things too. And they're always the same one. They're pulling it out of a file in the sorority or the fraternity, and they think if they go back far enough, no one will notice them if they do.
So, to say this out, you said, like, you can turn it in and it will recognize, oh, this is the same as another student in a different section. Mm-hmm. So it keeps track of not only...
It's all data-based. Yeah. Everyone that's turned in is data-based.
So, like, let's say there's a student that's, like, taking a class and they had to write a paper and they turned in a similar paper for a different class they took a few years before. Like,
if you dial it down that tight, it'll notice.
You can
sort of control how much time it takes for it to get done by how tight it compares.
It's like if it would recognize, and then like I guess that was another question.
That's how I knew
had.
I like violated my own sanctity.
Like if you didn't have it published, like you use something for like another class.
Yeah,
you still
it's all in the same database. They're not data. Well, there's the database is noted. So if you tell it, I just want you to compare with recent, or find it. It's pretty amazing. Piece of software. So I'd love to know the algorithm behind a search engine, because I don't know a search engine that's that smart, but clearly.
And do you like feel the same about plagiarizing something like from APA or another student as you would a student plagiarizing their own work?
Oh no, if they're repeating something that was a good description last time, I don't care. I'll tell them you might get in trouble for this, but I'm not going to cut their feet off.
What if it's like half of the paper, like not necessarily statistics, but like
right.
Like a more advanced.
Oh, if they're clearly stealing stuff.
They wrote before. Like
then the first thing I do is I look in the reference section and see if they're citing where they got it from. Because if they're citing where they got it from, like you said, they don't know how to do citations. But the age-old tradition is you take 2 papers, turn them into a third, and only cite their citations, not them. Wait, queen.
So how would you, like, cite, like, just
another paper that you did for a class. Does that make sense?
Oh, you can cite. Yeah, you can cite yourself. Yeah.
Like, even it's not published. It's just a paper.
It's a personal communication for yourself, or the informal way of doing it is to say paper submitted to, and name the class and the date. But the point is that I really liked this before. It fits in here. I'm just going to drop this on you. That's, you know, that's doing it right. The fact that whether or not something is published is not part of the definition of plagiarism. How's that? I can have something in my drawer that makes you a liar and a cheat.
So along the same lines, and I guess in research methods, is this their first exposure to citing?
Typically.
So
that's on that list of things that you're going to be expected to provide.
So assuming that they're taking an advanced class after they've had research methods, should we feel responsible to review how to cite or to teach them how to cite? Because they've already learned it once.
Yeah, we do. We do. In a stats class, no. In a methods class, I think it's a good idea. We have, you can go look anytime you want, or I can show it to you. We have about 6 pages of APA reference material where we have brought it down, you know, from the $70 book you can buy, or the $50 to $100 books that you can buy to tell you how to read the $70 book, or the web pages that you can get to teach you how to read the books. We got it down to about 6 pages of stuff that my colleagues say, yeah, that's good. That's the stuff I want to make sure they know how to do. And so that's the standard we hold them to, and for the most part, it sticks pretty well. And you teach them about OWL. Go on OWL. You know what OWL is? Purdue?
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to OWL, man. OWL rocks. And the search engine on it is a little scary, too.
Kids don't know how to cite stuff by the time they get to these classes.
Most of them do. All you have to do is sort of tighten up whatever you expect.
Okay.
And for example, I start that discussion, because I introduce it in class before they have to do it in lab. I start that discussion with, there is no existing APA journal that uses all of APA Citation 6. Everybody uses some version of what they like. So what I'm really interested in is that I give you a set of standards and you can hold to them. Because so that when other people give you sets of standards, you can hold to them in turn. We do not memorize. We just try and get them to pay attention to some core stuff, most of which they've already had. The one thing that screws everybody up, two things that screw everything up. What? Secondary citations. If you're citing somebody saying something instead of going back to read when they said it, there's a different citation format for that, which people have blown off as long as it's existed. I don't want to admit that I didn't go back and read it. Hell, I'll even put it in my reference section. But I'd like you to pretend that I went back and read it, which is technically plagiarism, because you're not giving somebody credit for having taught you somebody else's thoughts. And the other one they screw up all the time is handbooks and annual review and various versions of edited journals with separate unit authors, which I think there are now 11 or 12 versions of that. There's 133 kinds of references and 127 kinds of citations in APA. There's books, there's articles, there's thought. You know. So some of them have had less than others. And like I say, what I'm really trying to hold to is here's learn how to do it this way. Not everyone will want you to do it this way, but I will be comforted if I know you can follow this set of instructions. And I will express that comfort in giving you a good grade. All right, we got time for one more. What else?
Exams, make a policy for exams. It kind
okay.
of falls into the homework, but
standard policy, you have to do the makeup before the exam is given. Just for the hell of it, and with permission from the dean, we wanted to see whether we could use that and we were taking this chemistry class and none of us left. And we said, you know, to the dean, you know, you're kind of into letting somebody take it early. You have somebody who's got a pretty good memory. They deliver the test to the rest of the class. And he said, I don't think that would work. I said, would you cover our ass if we got caught? And he said, yes, I will. And everybody got a 95 or above on the next test. It's not a foolproof.
What did you do?
I had a really good visual memory back then. I said, I'm going to a weightlifting meet and I have to leave a day early. I said, well, we have to come in and take the exam 2 days before the exam is scheduled. Okay. And I delivered the test to the rest of the class with the dean's grace. And everybody rocked it because they were taking the test for the second time after 2 days of memorizing. Just an example of some. This is not foolproof. This is the standard that people have to take it early. But so, with that awful story, I never really heard the story about how the dean brought that up with the professor.
That was in college already?
It was in college, yeah.
And who approached the dean? You?
I did.
You were challenging the policy?
No, I just thought it'd be fun. We had an argument about whether or not that would work. And I said, sure, if you get a class that's enough connected and desperate enough, and there's no more desperate class in the universe than chemistry. And so, sort of on a lark, I asked, he said, oh, I'd like to know, because that was their standard policy. Oh, and by the way, they were required to give the same exam in the chemistry department at University of Slippery Rock. There was this two-part policy that just seemed like a bad idea, and was. Not one kid in that class told the teacher. And all that I did was I wrote down everything I could think of, we mimeographed it, and we handed it to each kid on the way out of the class, two classes before the review. But I guess it was the review, so 2 days before the test. That's all we did. We didn't, you know, no throwing a soul over your shoulder, no blood brother. Nobody said a damn thing, and everybody crushed the test. One kid said she didn't review it, said she didn't look at it. Pretty good kid, she might. So, what's a reasonable policy? Yeah.
I'm a little bit of a pushover as well. but for my class, I gave four exams, I think.
Okay.
And I told them that one time they could have a makeup and they had to make it up within the week after the exam. But there were no makeups on the final, unless there was like an emergency or something.
And unless C crisis A.
Right. But they had to let me know before the exam.
Right. So all reasonable things.
They were like out of town for a meet or something, then we would plan to have them take it, you know, the day they got back or whatever. And I only had two students actually do that, and everyone else took it on time.
Okay. So you got a kid who's an A student, who's a Fulbright scholar, who's already accepted to graduate school, whose roommate turns off their alarm clock because they're pissed at them. They miss their final, which was 60% of the course grade, and they will now get a D. Now what's your policy, boys and girls?
I would allow them to make it up, but I always...
It's a final. You're going to let a practical joke be on a par with dead grandma?
But you just said that they're a good student.
That matters.
It does. Well, I...
And it can.
I'm more likely to err on believing somebody than not. And it seems cruel. It seems crueler to take away that 60% over something that wasn't their fault if I am believing what they say.
They get drunk the night before and sleep through their alarm.
Yeah, that's their fucking problem.
They've never had alcohol before and drank too much, not knowing what too much was.
That's still their problem.
Okay. So they lose their Fulbright.
Why are they drinking the night before a final?
I didn't say it was a good idea.
Exactly.
probably going to be like trying to email or call you like in a panic, like within a few hours of the test, and like say, okay, I'm going to take it this afternoon.
Okay.
It's not saying like, oh, I forgot we had the test. Can I take it 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, you don't have to bend over backwards, but you can right. like you can still make it somewhat inconvenient for them, like you need to be here by this time,
right?
Okay.
I could just not give a final and just have four tests. And a lot of times in the biology department, if you have multiple iterations, the lowest grade gets dropped.
Right.
So if they miss it, then that's the grade that gets
dropped.
That's
the lowest grade. That's one way to completely avoid it at least once.
I had a really bad experience.
Back to autobiographical policymaking.
No, I was in a class and it was your... It was each, there were four tests, and it was each was 25%, and it was a some psych class, I don't remember what it was, biopsych, I think. And you were allowed to drop one test. So actually, it was four tests, you drop one, your grade is made up of the three tests.
Mm-hmm.
No makeups.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you miss a test, that's the one you drop. I did not do well on the second test, and
right.
so I was wanting to drop that one. I had to have surgery out of town, mm-hmm. like...
They didn't let you out for. They didn't let you out of policy for surgery.
No, that was her policy, and so I had to come in. My parents had to drive me, and I took the test like doped up on painkillers.
How'd that go?
I got a 97.
That's awesome.
It ended up working out, but ever since then, it's like that. Just because of policy, mm-hmm. that's
right.
why she didn't
yeah.
change it. It was like I can give you a note from my doctor in this different state, and she was like. No, you can drop like you can drop that one. You did the other test, but that was going to give me like a B minus in the class,
right.
and I didn't want a B minus in the class.
Take an extra Vicodin and show up.
Yep. Got a pillow. Got my foot up, propped up on the chair next to me.
Probably my favorite sort of way around things is to have a cumulative final that can either replace your lower grade or as a makeup if there's. Something you need to do. And if not, you know, you don't have to take it.
How would you feel if, like, somebody's saying, okay, I'm going to take this final because I want to replace this lower grade, and then they do worse on the final? You just say, okay, then the final doesn't count, or sorry, that sucks. Like,
oh, I only replace with higher grades
yeah.
because in my course, I can argue from data that the best predictor I have is the best performance. Not the first, not the second, not the average, nothing. Best performance is the best anticipator of what you'll remember and how you'll be able to build on it. So, after a whole bunch of data analyses, I've got an out. I get to do the nice thing because it's the right thing. It's nice when those scores work. All right, so we'll spend... let's start with more policy stuff on Monday. And also think about what other topical stuff you want to go after for Tuesday and Thursday. Okay? And we'll plan on all of the last week being computery stuff. So we'll do some Blackboard, we'll do some pink and blue things, we'll do some data generation. One nice thing about being here is we can go next door and do the data generation stuff live. Or does everybody have a laptop with SPSS on it?
Yes.
We'll just go next door and we'll jam on it. All right?
Are those the assignment for this class?
Huh?
The pink things that you're talking about?
Oh, no. The pink things are the online exercises that I use in my other classes.
Okay. So there are no assignments for you?
Yeah, I got a couple things. There's a couple things I want you to do. I'll give you one of them probably on Tuesday.
Okay.
I want you to look at... you know that thing about the curricular role of a course and when to do things? There's an exercise I want you to think through that really seems to help with that. Because it sucks. You've got to decide when to teach what in a sequence of courses. On the skills and things we were talking about, how do you integrate that skill learning into content learning across a major? And it doesn't take very long. It starts out really sucky, and then you sort of, and it solves itself. But it's a really great process piece.
I was just going
to
ask.
Good to see you. What's new?
I was. Oh,